Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and myths of the people and events that created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Farias, and I have the best job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years, and now we get to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So today we're going to talk about alcohol, booze, hooch, spirits, the sauce, whatever you prefer to call it. Many people believe that alcohol is the fuel that rebuilt our vibrant downtown. And maybe they're right. You know, it doesn't seem all that long ago that if you wanted to enjoy an adult beverage downtown, your choices were Mastery's, the Emerald, or Mario's on Central Avenue. But the debate of alcohol in St. Petersburg began far before 1980. When Florida changed the drinking age from 18 to 19, or when the city of St. Pete annexed the land Dave's Aqua Lounge occupied on Gandy Boulevard, ending everyone's favorite 2 a.m. liquor store drive-up window. It actually started back in 1892. Within hours of the residents of St. Petersburg voting to incorporate as a town, they held an election for the first mayor and two city council seats. John Constantine Williams, regarded as the founder of St. Petersburg and the young town's largest landowner, wanted to be mayor. After all, as a young man, he watched his father become the first mayor of Detroit, Michigan. So this was his chance to follow in his father's footsteps. His opponent, David Moffitt, an Indiana-born farmer with limited financial resources who owned an orange grove near Mirror Lake. I'm really not sure what political parties they belonged to, but Moffitt was supported by the temperance crowd and ran on the anti-saloon ticket. Williams was pro-saloon. It turns out our first mayoral election wasn't about taxes or a baseball stadium or parks. It was about booze or no booze for St. Pete. Moffitt won the election 21 to 10. That's right, 31 registered voters. The saloons had to go. The temperance movement was alive and well in Sunshine City, and ironically led by Sarah Williams Armistead, the then remarried widow of John C. Williams. I'm sure John was turning in his grave when this was happening. At the turn of the 20th century, as the city continued to grow, two saloons opened in St. Pete. But by 1910, the Women's Christian Temperance Union had several chapters open. They also wrote a weekly column in the St. Petersburg Times, and became a major force. When Pinellas County voters outlawed saloons countywide in 1913, the WCTU went knocking on doors to get the votes. The laws were basically ignored during World War I. I mean, we are St. Pete. We're going to find a drink somewhere. But the craziness of 1919 got serious. On January 16, 1919, Nebraska voted yes, and the 18th Amendment was ratified. 1 year later, the great experiment of prohibition, the attempt to make America sober, God-fearing, and more productive, went into effect. The experiment failed miserably. The federal government didn't have the manpower to enforce prohibition laws. Local sheriffs and police often turned a blind eye, especially when bootleggers and moonshiners added graciously to the officers' retirement funds. What prohibition did do was give rise to organized crime. The syndicate, Cosa Nostra, the mafia, or whatever you prefer to call it or see in Hollywood films, making, moving, and selling illegal booze made a lot of people rich. Here in St. Pete, we considered prohibition to be more of a suggestion than a law. We were building one of the hottest tourist spots in the nation, and we were trying to convince those tourists to open their checkbooks and invest in our city by buying property. We were in the hospitality business in every sense of the word. Strangely enough, our politicians weren't so lucky. The business leaders that wanted to lure visitors and make money off them at any cost, it seems, expected our political leaders to be of perfect moral fiber. But the residents elected Noel Mitchell in 1920. A successful businessman and tireless cheerleader of St. Petersburg, Mitchell got his hand caught in the whiskey jar. In early November 1921, Mitchell hosted a booze-filled after-hours party in City Hall that got out of hand, and was eventually raided by the police. Despite a public apology, a recall election was held, and Mitchell was removed from office. He was replaced by Frank Fortune Pulver, nicknamed the Millionaire Bachelor Mayor. He soon became the poster boy of 1920s St. Petersburg. The city's PR department, of one person, by the way, sent him on publicity junkets all over the nation, usually with swimsuit-clad women on his arms. The Temperance fans weren't very fond of Pulver either, or his lax take on prohibition laws. City Council eventually voted to take much of the mayor's power away. But this is where the story gets really confusing for the Sunshine City. You could get a drink during this time anywhere you wanted in St. Pete. And it was more than drinking. You could gamble on tabletop gambling machines in local speakeasies, and you could sunbathe in the nude on Spa Beach. Heck, we were Sin City before anyone thought of building Las Vegas. Developer Walter Fuller built the Jungle Prada in 1924 and opened our first ever nightclub, the Gangplank Lounge. The Birchwood on Beach Drive was an early 1920s speakeasy. And when the city's most prolific developer, Perry Snell, opened the city's tallest building on the corner of Central Avenue and 4th Street, the rooftop terrace became the world's worst speakeasy. There was drinking, music, and dancing. You were outside, on a roof. You could hear it all over downtown, but nobody cared. Stills were discovered in orange groves and papaya farms throughout the city. And Babe Ruth, who arrived in St. Petersburg in 1925 with the New York Yankees, had no problem finding a drink, which is pretty funny because the reason why the Yankees left New Orleans to come to St. Petersburg for spring training was to keep the Babe out of Bourbon Street. And then there was the rum. If you leave Havana and sail due north, you run into St. Petersburg. And the island of Cuba was world famous for one thing other than cigars. Rum. It didn't take long for the Sunshine City to become the rum-filled city. Rum boats docked off the Pinellas Coast in the Gulf of Mexico. Smaller, faster boats transported the rum into West St. Pete. And rumors are the house next to Jungle Prada was used to store the rum until it could be moved to a hidden airstrip that Walter Fuller carved out of the woods not far from today's Tyrone Square Mall. This is where his friends from Chicago would distribute the sweet, sugary delight all over a booze-depraved nation. We became so rum-crazed that the federal government opened a Coast Guard base in Bayboro Harbor to chase these rum runners. Everyone in St. Pete thought the party would last forever. The greatest land boom we ever witnessed became a bust in 1927. The Great Depression hit us hard in 1929. And in 1933, President Roosevelt pushed through the 21st Amendment, making booze legal again in the United States. Try and find a parking spot on Central Avenue on a Friday or Saturday night now, and you'll see that it's obvious that the 1920s party era is alive and well in St. Petersburg. Even the Museum of History is keeping the Great Gatsby vision alive. We started a quarterly event last year called History in a Bottle, presented by our friends at St. Pete Distillery and Sharon Mahoney of Events by the Glass. Your ticket can take you on a two-hour journey of spirits tasting and a gourmet food tasting, all wrapped up in a history lesson. Our next History in the Bottle is Saturday, August 9th, when we present Aged and Distilled, a History Whiskey Journey, a tasting of fine whiskeys matched with fine cuisine from Chives Catering and Perry's Porch. You can go to historystpete.org for more info and tickets. So I want to thank everyone for joining us today in Historically St. Pete on this little booze journey we took. I invite you to turn in weekly to radiostpete.com for Historically St. Pete and to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the pier and explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. Visit historystpete.org for more details on all our exhibits and events. And I want to thank you for listening and join us next week in Historically St. Pete.